to go away and come back again before you noticed the way the rain dripping off the gutters had a rhythm all its own. Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. A few minutes later, Sergeant Colon and Corporal Nobbs of the Night Watch were sharing a friendly roll-up in the shelter of a doorway and doing what the Night Watch was best at, which was keeping warm and dry and staying out of trouble. They were the only witnesses to the manic figure which splashed down the dripping street, pirouetted through the puddles, grabbed a drain pipe to swing around the corner, and clicking its heels together merrily, disappeared from view. Sergeant Colon handed the soggy dog end back to his companion.
"Was that old Throat Dibbler?"
he said after a while.
"Yeah,"
said Nobby.
"He looked happy, didn't he?" "Must be off his nut, if you ask me," said Nobby, "singing in the rain like that."
Vroom, vroom, vroom. The Arch-Chancellor, who had been updating his dragon's stud book and enjoying a late-night drink in front of the fire, looked up. Vroom. Hum, hum, hum. By gods, he muttered, and wandered over to the big pot. It was actually wobbling from side to side as if the building was shaking. The Arch-Chancellor watched, fascinated. Hum, 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 hum. It wobbled to a standstill and went silent.
Odd, said the Arch-Chancellor. Damned odd.
Blip. On the other side of the room, his brandy decanter shattered. Rid Cully the Brown took a deep breath.
Bursa!
Victor was woken up by sandflies. The air was already warm. It was going to be another fine day. He waded out into the shallows to wash and clear his head. Let's see, he still had his $2 from yesterday, plus a handful of pennies. He could afford to stay a while, especially if he slept on the beach. And Borgel's stew, while only food in the technical sense, was cheap enough. Although, come to think of it, eating there might involve embarrassing encounters with Ginger. He took another step and sank. Victor hadn't swum in the sea before. He surfaced half-drowned, treading water furiously. The beach was only a few yards away. He relaxed, he gave himself time to get his breath back, and swam a leisurely crawl out beyond the breakers. The water was crystal clear. He could see the bottom shelving away sharply to... He surfaced for a quick breath. A dim blueness in which it was just possible through the teeming shoals of fish to see the outline of pale rectangular rocks scattered on the sand. He tried a dive, fighting his way down until his ears clanged. The largest lobster he had ever seen waved its feelers at him from a rocky spire and snapped away into the depths. Victor bobbed up again, gasping, and struck out for the shore. Well, if you couldn't make it in moving pictures, there was an opening here for a fisherman, that was certain. A beachcomber would do all right as well. There was enough wind-dried firewood piled up on the edge of the dunes to keep Ankh-Morpork's fires supplied for years. No one in Holywood would dream of lighting a fire except for cooking or company. And someone had been doing just that. As he waded ashore, Victor realized that the wood further along the beach had been stacked not haphazardly, but apparently by design, in neat piles. Further along, stones had been stacked into a crude fireplace. It was clogged with sand. Maybe someone else had been living on the beach, waiting their big chance in moving pictures. Come to think of it, the timber behind the half-buried stones had a dragged-together look. You could imagine, looking at it from the sea, that several bulks of timber had been set up to form an arched doorway. Perhaps they were still there. Perhaps they might have something to drink. They were indeed still there. But they hadn't needed a drink for months. It was 8 in the morning. A thunderous knocking awoke Bizam Planter, owner of the Odium, one of Ankh-Morpork's mushrooming crop of moving picture pits. He'd had a bad night. The people of Ankh-Morpork liked novelty. The trouble was that they didn't like novelty for long. The Odium had done great business for a week, had broken even for the next week, and was now dying. The late showing last night had been patronised by one deaf dwarf and an orangutan who'd brought along his own peanuts. Bizam relied on the sale of peanuts and banged grains for his profit and wasn't in a good mood. He opened the door and stared out blearily.
"We're shut till 2 o'clock, he said. "Matney, come back then. Seats in all parts."
He slammed the door. It rebounded off Throat Dibbler's boot.
and hit Bizam on the nose.